Grace and peace to you, saints of God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. For some reason, the Beatitudes always come up as the gospel reading on All Saints' Day. Revelation 7 makes sense. After all Saints' Day is about remembering those who have gone before us and are now resting from their labors, worshiping God around his throne, clothed in white robes, as is Marlene, and as are all of those who have fallen asleep, trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. 1 John 3 also makes sense, after all. To be a saint, which simply means a holy one, means to be a child of God, which is what we are through our baptism. But why the Beatitudes? That confused me for the longest time, since the Beatitudes seem to be directed more at us than at those who have fallen asleep and gone before us. But then, who said anything about All Saints' Day just being for the dead? After all, we are all saints through our faith in Jesus Christ, through our baptism, so All Saints' Day is for us too. And the Beatitudes show us the attitude we are to have as saints of God. We can look at the Beatitudes in a number of different ways, as being descriptive of God's blessings to us, as being prescriptive of what we are to do in many different ways. But we can, for today, I'd like to look at it as Jesus telling us what Christians should look like. Christians should be, let's see, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit means to be means to put others first, to be humble. That is certainly an important attitude to have. Blessed are those who mourn, and we should all mourn for our sins. Blessed are the meek, those who humble themselves and humble themselves before God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who desire God's blessings, who desire what faith in God gives. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, and we are to be pure in heart through faith in Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers. Again, a good attitude for Christians to have. God says to foster peace with all people. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Every week we pray for more Christians who are persecuted for the sake of their faith in Christ. It is important to not be averse, not to avoid or to be afraid of suffering for Christ's sake, but instead to be willing to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away. All of these are important attitudes for us to have, but we don't, or at least not all the time. The fallen, sinful humans that we are, we do not always have the attitude of Christ. We don't always look to Christ as the source of all good things for us. We don't always mourn for our sins and seek his forgiveness. We don't always humble ourselves before him. We don't always have the attitude of Christ. Too often we exalt ourselves, so even when we do exhibit the attitude of Christ, we become proud of our accomplishment, of our good attitude. Note the irony, of course, of having the attitude of Christ and being proud of that. And so we just plain can't stack up if we look at this as being prescriptive of how we must act. So it can't be just simply prescriptive, telling us how we should act. Instead, it is descriptive. So though the Beatitudes give us an example, they are much more a description of Christ. After all, Christ came into the world to fulfill the whole law in every part, and this includes having this attitude of the Beatitudes. Christ is the one who exemplifies this attitude toward God. Christ, though he was rich as the Son of God, became poor for our sake. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Christ became poor for us. Blessed are those who mourn. Christ mourned over our sins, weeping bloody tears in the Garden of Gethsemane for our sins. Blessed are the meek. Christ became meek, humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Christ is the one who satisfies our hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Christ is the one who had mercy on us by the forgiveness that he won for us so that we might have mercy on others. Blessed are the pure in heart. Christ is the only one who could truly say that he was pure in heart, completely, totally sinless. Blessed are the peacemakers. Christ is the one who makes peace between us and God by his own blood shed to bridge that gap between us and God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Christ is the one who was persecuted for the sake of righteousness, who gave up his own life so that by his righteousness he could make us righteous. So that is what Christ does for us, but that's not all he does for us. He also sends us his Holy Spirit, who remakes us so that we become more and more in the attitude of Christ. It is God's Spirit that works in us all through our lives, starting with our baptism, but continuing all through life, from working through his word and through regular worship to remake and reshape us. We weekly confess our sins. We weekly receive absolution. We are molded into better followers of God. We receive the sacraments to strengthen our faith and forgive our sins. All of these means of grace remake and reform us more in line with God's image in us. Now, this is not something that will ever come to completion in this life. We are always going to struggle. We are always going to be struggling with our sinful nature, which always pushes our attitude more toward focusing on ourselves rather than on others. Even the most faithful Christians still struggle with the sinful nature throughout their lives. In fact, I suppose you could say one way that you know you are faithful is that the devil is there tempting you as well. And so every day in baptism, we must drown the old sinful nature, but every day that sinful nature still comes back with a vengeance. It's kind of like getting an infestation of ants or fruit flies or something in your house. It's easy to get, but it's laughably hard to ever get rid of. And so, it's always going to be there throughout your life, even when it seems like you are making headway in the struggle. Sin still finds you out and still finds ways to reassert itself in your actions and in our attitudes. And so this struggle, this being remade in God's image, only ever comes to completion after this life when we are with God in eternity. That is what sets apart the multitude in our first reading. They have come out of the great tribulation and washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, that great tribulation isn't any sort of apocalyptic battle. Instead, that's actually the cosmic battle that is always waging within each and every one of us between God and Satan. The great tribulation is life. And so in baptism, the multitude's sins are washed away. And in physical death, the sinful nature is completely excised. And so it is only in eternity that it is completely gone and we are completely without sin. And this holds true for all of those who have fallen asleep in the faith. Their sinful nature is gone. They are in God's presence eternally, not because of anything they did, but because of what Christ did for them. The attitude of Christ is fully realized in them in heaven. So the saints are not saints because of who they are. They're saints because of whose they are. They're saints, holy ones, because the Holy One, God, gave His holiness to them. No matter how holy we strive to be on our own, no matter how hard we try to live up to the attitude described here, we will always fall short. We cannot be pure in heart or peacemakers or merciful or meek and so on all the time. We cannot be any of those things apart from Christ. We do not measure up on our own. But Christ can. And Christ gives us His holiness, making us His holy ones. He gives us His Spirit, which remakes our sinful attitudes into the likeness of His sinless attitude. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we show forth the attitude of Christ to those around us. So All Saints' Day is for us, too. A reminder not of not who we are, but of whose we are and what we are through Him. We are His saints. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds for this life and the next in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.